This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you in particular to those of you who subscribe. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Good vs. Evil Chapter 6, sold out for Heritage Isles on the first Saturday of February. Brandon Legal Group will be helping me unleash evil on the back nine for all players. They want me to convey a simple message. When you are in need of any type of legal assistance, and if you are located in the greater Tampa Bay area, you may call them for a free consult at 844-4BLG4ME or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com and click the box that says request a free consultation. They are a full-service law firm. That can mean family law. That can mean divorce. That can mean whatever you need it to mean, because they are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area, Brandon Legal Group. Bill Curry Ford, also huge supporters of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast in the next 24 hours or so. Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, host of a podcast on JoeBucksFan.com and participant annually in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League, will be presenting $1,000 checks to both winners of the podcast leagues from 2021. Those checks going to Tony Tega and to me. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, in Tampa. When you are considering making a change in your primary personal vehicle, consider Bill Curry Ford for either a new Ford vehicle or a certified pre-owned vehicle, either a Ford or any other major make and model, as they have many choices on the lot. I just recently went through this process with Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. I traded in a 2014 Ford for a 2018 Ford. I was in and out faster than it took T-Mobile to switch me over officially from Sprint. That's how the car buying process can go for you at Bill Curry Ford. When you deal with Sean Sullivan, you ask for him by name, you tell him you are a listener of mine. If you go into the dealership and you cannot find Sean Sullivan, you ask for Grace Thomas and you tell her you are a listener of mine and that you'd like to speak to Sean to go through the car buying process. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com. Sean, as always, thanks for your email. I responded, as I will to others who write me via email, at write.todd@yahoo.com. I'm on Instagram, had some fun with some of the items in my museum that is my home and my collectibles for Super Wildcard Weekend, with some displaying those items appropriately for the day as best I could. Instagram is at ToddWright2121, and you can also find me on Twitter at ToddWright2121, where I made the point yesterday on Twitter. As of Monday, there are pros and cons of everything. The pro of the NFC East, they are the only division where every team has won a Super Bowl. The con of the NFC East, they are the only division that cannot win Super Bowl LVI. So we've already done the Black Monday recap, and we did it with an eye on other potential changes that have since happened. That included the Joe Judge termination with New York and the David Culley termination with the Houston Texans. With the dismissal of Mike Mayock, handpicked general manager of John Gruden with the Las Vegas Raiders, and a poor early draft history for Mayock and Gruden, despite the Raiders making a great push, having it come down to one final play in a first-round playoff loss at the Bengals, Mayock is out. That likely means Bisaccia will not be retained, and other members of that staff will also be looking for new jobs. So Vegas stays on the list of six, and we have since added two more with Houston and the Giants, and I still have an eye on Matt Rhule, and some have an eye on Cliff Kingsbury after his latest late-season collapse and poor showing in the first round of the playoffs against the Rams. And let's remember, the Cardinals were also in a position, had they won their last regular season game, they would have been at home for a game in the first round of the playoffs rather than on the road in that embarrassing loss to the Rams. So we're at eight. It could go to nine or 10, depending on what, if anything, may happen with Matt Rhule in the coming days and weeks and or Cliff Kingsbury. In the last week, there have been critics of select coaching firings and looking at the big picture as it relates to minority opportunities as head coach. The flaw in many of these arguments is that the focus and the main example that they use of the problem is Lovie Smith. For those of you who are loyal to my podcast, you know where this is going. And honestly, if you want, you are excused. Because everything I'm about to say, you've heard before, and not that long ago. And nothing has changed. So if you don't want to hear the facts on Lovie Smith, because I've already told you the facts or you knew them on your own, you're free to go. I don't want to waste your time. But before you go, just know the reason I'm doing this today is for those who use Lovie Smith improperly to make their argument. That's why I'm doing this, because clearly they're as ignorant as Smith is. So now I'm pressing on. So it was roughly 13 months ago, maybe a little more, that I did, I believe it was the Todd Wright Toddcast episode 133, where I talked about how the state of Illinois had just fired their highest paid employee. And that was the termination of Lovie Smith as head football coach at Illinois. Since then, Smith was associate head coach and defensive coordinator under David Culley for the 2021 season with the Houston Texans, whom we all know were not playing to compete in 2021. Had they been playing to compete, they would have A, played their best player, Deshaun Watson, or traded their best player for players or future picks or picks that would have potentially helped them compete. There wasn't a single person who knows anything about the NFL who expected the Houston Texans to compete legitimately for a playoff berth and a championship in 2021. There are more people like me who thought the organization was tanking more than trying to win. And I'm wondering if that's also why David Culley was terminated, because he didn't know what he was supposed to do. And he seemed lost when speaking to the media about what to say. You don't come out and admit it, but at the same time, if that's the organization's plan, you kind of need to be on board with it and be aware of it. The Texans went 4-13, and that stinks. However, they don't have the top pick in the upcoming draft. As a matter of fact, I don't think they have either the second pick in the upcoming draft. Those, I believe, belong to the Jaguars and to the Lions. Lions would have had the number one pick had they not beaten the Packers in the final game. Typical Lions move. So David Culley is out. And his offensive coordinator are out. And not only is Lovie Smith being used again improperly as an example of what's wrong with some of the hiring and firing of NFL coaches in the NFL, there's actually discussion now among people who follow the Texans that Lovie Smith might be right to be promoted to head coach of the Texans going forward, which also creates the need for me to remind some people about Lovie Smith. So let's just start and get out of the way the point that most make. Lovie Smith was a head coach of the year, and then the next year, the Bears won the NFC and played in the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning, Tony Dungy, and the Indianapolis Colts. I'm acknowledging both of those factors. So I will start there, because when those either arguing for Lovie to get the Texans job or that Lovie Smith is an example of what's wrong with the hiring and firing process for NFL coaches, that's the thing they bring up, and I acknowledge it. Yes, in back-to-back years in Chicago, Lovie Smith was coach of the year, and then the next year was the head coach of that Bears team that went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Colts. I acknowledge those things. Now, let me add to it and take it from there. Ron Rivera was Lovie Smith's defensive coordinator both of those seasons. After the Bears lost that Super Bowl, Lovie Smith requested a pay raise. It took a while, but the Bears gave Smith a new 4-year contract worth $22 million on March 1st. However, while this was all going on, 5 members of Lovie Smith's coaching staff left, including defensive coordinator Ron Rivera, whose contract was up and he was not retained. That's very important. Because if you're going to prop up Lovie Smith head coach of the year, followed by Lovie Smith head coach of the NFC champion Chicago Bears, I need to tell you about his coaching staff, and in particular, Ron Rivera, and how after those 2 successful seasons for Lovie, Lovie got paid to stay in Chicago. Rivera was let go. In the 6 years after that happened, Lovie Smith won 1 playoff game as head coach of the Bears. 1. I'll talk about the overall record in a bit. But in 6 years, following a trip to the Super Bowl, Lovie Smith's team won 1 playoff game. 1. He was fired after those six seasons that followed the trip to the Super Bowl. He had a total of 9 years with the Bears. Without Ron Rivera, six seasons, one playoff win. No return to the Super Bowl, no championship. He was not hired by anyone looking for a head coach the next year. There were openings. He was either unwanted, or he didn't want them, or had the wrong attitude. Any combination of factors. He was not a head coach. As a matter of fact, he didn't coach anywhere in 2013. Just going to make sure he wasn't an assistant anywhere. He was not. He sat out. Perhaps by choice. Perhaps based on what he hadn't done the previous 6 years with what was a Super Bowl team. Then along came the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a very sad state, as they often are, in their franchise history. And the Bucs welcomed Lovey home, where he was an assistant to Tony Dungy when the Buccaneers built up a Super Bowl team that won in 2002. Welcome home, Lovey. First year, no results. 2-14 and earned the number one pick in the 2015 NFL draft, which the Bucs used to select Jameis Winston, while the Tennessee Titans, picking second, took Marcus Mariota. I'm not putting that on Lovey Smith. I don't think he had a damn thing to do with it. When you have the number one pick in the draft, that's as much the owner's call more than the head coach's call. And it's not like Mariota turned into much more than Winston did, although Mariota has won a playoff game. I said, leading up to that draft, the best choice was Leonard Williams, defensive lineman, but the Bucs had a need for a quarterback, and so did Tennessee, and they weren't listening to me. Leading up to the start of the 2015 season, where it was clear that Jameis Winston was going to be the Bucs' starting quarterback, and of course, Lovey has a wonderful track record with supporting bad starting quarterbacks, ask any Bear fan as it relates to Rex Grossman. Jameis was thrust in there, and the NFL schedule makers put Tampa Bay against Tennessee for week one. All Lovey Smith talked about, from the beginning of training camp to the opening game against the Titans, was, quote, being Tennessee ready. And the Bucs went out and were anything but. Marcus Mariota's, I believe, fourth pass was a touchdown. Jameis Winston's first was a pick six. The Bucs' defense was completely ill-prepared to handle the talents of Marcus Mariota. The game was over by halftime and an embarrassment to the Buccaneers. The biggest problem there wasn't that Jameis Winston had a worse game than Mariota. The problem was that Lovey Smith never bothered to look at Mariota game tape from his days at Oregon to see his talents and think that Tennessee might base their offense around what Mariota was comfortable doing and successful doing. He never looked at Mariota game tape running the Oregon offense. And this isn't unique. Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels basically used a version of the offense that Mac Jones ran in 2020 at Alabama so Mac Jones could be successful in his first year of the NFL in 2021. This isn't unique, people. But Lovey didn't think it was worth his time. That didn't connect to being Tennessee ready. They weren't Mariota ready. The Bucs went 6-10, and then came the night at the end of the season when the Glazers asked Jason Light to call Lovie Smith because the boss wants to talk to you. Lovie refused. He refused a request from his boss to come to the office and face your fate. I think we've all been in that position. None of us like it. But be a man. Show up. Be the bigger man if you feel you are wrongfully being let go. I have done that with more than a couple of people in the radio business. Ones I respect, Bruce Gilbert, and one who was a shit dick, John O'Connor. You do it. You go. Lovie didn't. At that point, the Glazers should have terminated Lovie for cause rather than pay him his remaining money. But the Glazers can afford to not pay coaches to coach. They've done it for a while now. So Lovie was gone from Tampa Bay. And shortly thereafter hired and made the highest paid state employee in Illinois. Because the University of Illinois had 4 straight losing seasons in football, and Lovie was brought in to change that. Well, guess what? 5 years later, Lovie was let go because Illinois was up to 9 straight seasons of losing records. He failed. He failed miserably. His Big Ten record was 10-33. So we come to 2021, and he is brought in as the assistant head coach and DC for David Culley on the tanking Texans. And they went 4-13. So now I'll add it up for you. After that trip to the Super Bowl, and without Ron Rivera in the last 15 years, teams coached by Lovie Smith as their head coach or the assistant head coach are 82-121. That's 15 years of data. 39 games under 500. 4 different stops. Pro and college. Head coach and assistant. 82-121. So, for those of you in Houston saying he might be the right guy for the job, are you now convinced otherwise? I hope so. For those of you who have made the argument against the hiring and firing practices and using Lovie Smith as your best example, will you now think twice? Oh, should I just mention what Ron Rivera did since leaving Chicago and leaving Lovie Smith? I would love to. Rivera didn't immediately become a head coach. He went to San Diego. He joined Norv Turner's staff, and for the first year was the linebackers coach, and the next 3 was their defensive coordinator. In those 4 years, the Chargers went to the playoffs 3 of those 4 years. And the 4-year record for the Chargers in the year where Rivera was an assistant coach there, either coaching the linebackers or coordinating the defense, 44-26, including playoffs. Then came the Carolina Panthers, hiring Rivera, who I should mention, like Lovey, is a minority, Latino. Carolina Panthers come along, hire Ron Rivera, who coached them for the next 9 seasons, going to the playoffs 4 times, winning 3 playoff games, going to Super Bowl 50. Total record with the Panthers, 76-63-1, and you add the 3-4 in the postseason. Rivera then was let go by the Panthers and immediately hired to coach the dumpster fire in Washington, a team with no name. Rivera goes to the playoffs his first year in Washington, gives Tom Brady and the Bucs one hell of a fight, better than the Saints did with Breeze, better than the Packers did with Rodgers, better than the Chiefs did with Mahomes, with a kid named Taylor Heineke. Second year in Washington, 7-10. Total record for Ron Rivera since leaving Lovie Smith and the Bears 15 years ago, 137-113-1. That's Ron Rivera's mark the last 15 years for teams he's been involved with as a head coach or an assistant and or coordinator. 137 wins, 113 losses, 1 tie, 1 trip to the Super Bowl in the last 15 years. Lovie Smith, 82-121, no trips to the Super Bowl. So when you think to the biggest reason people prop up Lovie Smith as what's wrong with hiring and firing in the NFL and as a potential Houston Texans head coaching candidate, and you prop up, well, Lovie Smith was head coach of the Bears when they went to the Super Bowl. Ron Rivera might deserve more of that credit, because since they parted, Rivera is 26-500 with a trip to the Super Bowl. Smith is 39-500 and couldn't even win the Red Box Bowl. I rest my case again. Lovie Smith is a loser. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Bill Curry Ford. I welcome your emails at wright.todd@yahoo.com.